Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
All right. Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly slash, I guess, monthly, relentless, and sometimes Ruthless Pursuit of Freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. It is my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well-Armed Radio. And I'm still having issues with my stupid connection. Blog Talk has a new connection thing here. So I'm trying to decide if I should be I don't want to do an hour show and find out the whole thing is blank or no sound. So how should I best do this? I was thinking about trying to go on from my phone. This is great great radio here right now, great blog talk or great podcasting here right now. So I was thinking about trying to go in from my phone and see if I could hear myself. Because if I can hear myself, then that means you can hear me. So let's try that. Let's try, I'm on the Blog Talk website. I'm going to search Well Armed Radio. I'm going to go in as a normal person as opposed to, all right, here it is, Well Armed Radio. And September 10th, click on that, and let's hit play. See what happens. Isn't this great? Isn't this great, great, great podcasting here, for sure? All right, almost there. All right, I heard myself, so it's working. All right, so let's start this again. Welcome to Well-Armed Radio. This time I know you can hear me. Again, Nick Clark, president of Wisconsin Carry, host of Well-Armed Radio. Thank you guys for being with me. Encourage you to be a part of the show. If you happen to be listening live, 563-999-3787. 563-999-3787 is the studio number here. Start the show with the usual warning. No sacred cows here. And, you know, it's, I guess, maybe over a month-ish. I'm trying to remember the last show I did. I could look here, but it was probably at least a month ago. And now that the days are getting shorter and my life's getting somewhat less fucking insane, we'll hopefully be back to a little bit more of a regular schedule. I don't know if I'm going to do weekly, but hopefully bi-weekly. I mean, it really depends on topics and things. I don't want to do a show if I don't have good topics to start with, but obviously election year, I think there'll be more stuff coming down the pipe that I'd want to discuss, share, get your guys' thoughts on. If you, I did get a couple emails. I got an email from a listener, Tom in Madison. I got an email from another listener who happens to be my brother in California. And bro, I've got yours on my queue. I'm going to reply. I did get a chance to reply to Tom today by email, but yeah, I'll get around getting around. I am getting around to it. So feel free to shoot me a message if you'd like, nick@wisconsincarry.org. But so what we got this week queued up here for topics, now that we're into the fall season. And I mean, fall is my absolute favorite time of year. The quick update, I told you guys last show, I had been absent from the podcast for a while. I don't know if the last one I did was like April or something. And then in May I tore my shoulder up and my bicep up at the, I didn't tear my bicep tendon up at the gym. And then I had surgery. And then that was just, I mean, just my lifestyle does not fit being able, having to do things with one hand. I mean, I'm too busy, too active, too much physical activity in my life. It was just, it was awful. I mean, so I'm now back to where, I mean, I can use my right arm for household stuff, brushing my teeth, shaving, wiping my ass. Although I'm not going to lie, I got really good and I'm still am. I mean, not to be too graphic, but like, I got so good at wiping my ass left-handed that I'm just, now that I can use my right hand again, and my right arm is still a little bit tight, so my flexibility isn't there, but I might just wipe my ass left-handed for the rest of my life. I'm just being honest. Like, that's how ambidextrous from a wiping standpoint I've gotten, thanks to my shoulder injury. But Yeah, so, I mean, cooking and stuff like that. I mean, showering, I'm back to take – it doesn't take me any longer than it used to versus, like, man, when I was, you know, doing crap one-handed, I mean, a shower used to take me 10 minutes, would take me half hour. I mean, it just – everything took, like, three times as long. And I just – I mean, I didn't have enough time in my life as it was. And then you add in everything taking three times as long, and it just made it impossible. So, anyway – so another reason why I hope to be back to a more regular schedule for, podcasts. Cause I mean, some Sundays, like, I mean, I can't golf anymore. Now I can chip and putt, like short chips and putting, but, that's what I used to do on Sunday afternoons is golf. But now, like, I mean, there was Sundays I just worked all day or not all day, but all afternoon because I was so far behind. I have to go to PT twice. Anyway, you guys don't want to hear about all that crap, but it was a lot. It was overwhelming. I didn't jump off a bridge, but I thought about it. I apologize for not having more shows over the course of summer, but it was just, I didn't have everything I could handle. I had more than I could handle. And it's just, yeah, trying to get back to some kind of sense of, keeping my head above water here. So, a couple things this week. I'll start with this one. One of the things that I can do now that is ride my bike again, my pedal bike. I couldn't do that after my surgery, and love riding my bike. Do it every Sunday. I've loved riding my bike since I was a kid. Like my some of my earliest memories when I'd go to visit my dad over in Michigan, my brother was with, we'd go bike riding. We'd ride our bikes. And it was, I just remember my dad used to ride his bike a lot. I remember just when we were kids, I remember hearing, and I don't know if he did it when I was over there visiting for summers, cause my parents were divorced. My dad lived in Michigan over in Berrien Springs area, worked in Benton Harbor, St. Joe. And he would, I remember hearing how he would ride his bike to work sometimes. And that seemed like such a monumental task at the time, cause his work seemed like so far away, but I think I looked it up, and it's not that far. I mean, I don't know if it was 10 miles or 20 miles, which really isn't that far to ride a bike. I don't know, bike riding has just always been, I didn't get my license till I turned, till I was a senior. I turned 16 when I was, when I started my junior year, I was 16. Started my junior year. I started my sophomore year, I was 15. Started my junior year, I was 16. Started my senior year, I was 17. No. I got that. I'm a year off. I started my junior year, I was 16. Nope. I started my junior year. I was 15. Turned 16 November of my junior year. And then turned 17 November of my senior year. Cause when I started college, I was still 17. So anyway, I got my license late. And so, I don't think I got my license till the summer after my junior year. So I had my license for my senior year. But until then, I rode my bike. I rode my bike a ton when I was a kid, and it's just always been something that's super, not just something I enjoyed, but something that was just, I did a lot of. When I lived down with my dad in Illinois, I rode my bike on Illinois Prairie Path and the Fox River Trail or whatever it was called. I mean, just every day, that's what I did. I rode my bike everywhere. I mean, I don't even know how many miles I must have put on that bike. But that was my exercise. It was my transportation. It was my fun. I used to throw my golf clubs over my back and pedal my bike from Park Avenue in Delavan down to Delbrook Golf Course. That's how I got to the golf course with on my 10 speed with the golf clubs over my back. I've didn't ride bike for many years, college through, after college. And then, my fiance bought me a bike. At the time, I don't know if we were engaged at the time. I think we were. Probably 20. What year would that have been? 12, 11, maybe. We've been dating for a couple of years. She bought me a bike for my birthday one year and loved it. Started riding bike again. And it just, because it's such a great form of exercise and it's just everything. Like, it's better than running. It's low impact. And then plus when you're sweating and you're riding a bike, you get all that breeze blowing by you and it keeps you cooler. So always liked riding. I do it now sometimes a couple times a week. But one of the things I always felt bad about was I didn't carry when I rode, just for a number of reasons, like comfort and clothing and, you know, you name it. There was just a number of reasons I didn't carry. So I went to, and that's been the case for years that I've been riding my bike now. And so there was times when if I went for a bike ride with Kim and the kids, I would have a backpack on. And I might, then I might be open carrying on my hip as we were riding. I mean, I did that. Of course, that all stopped when our daughter Julie got hit by a truck after one of our bike rides. So then my exercise bike rides, which I sometimes do during the week, middle of the day, and then also on Sundays I take a long bike ride, more like, you know, 10-mile-ish bike ride. I was never carrying, and I always felt a little bit guilty about it because I like to carry everywhere that I go. So I go to was online, REI, and I found this really cool. It was like, well, first I was buying a water bottle cage, I guess they call them, because on my new bike. So I've got my old bike, the bike my fiance bought me that's now over 10 years old, and it's just got a little bit of rust on the sprockets and stuff. And just it's just an older bike. It's got a lot of miles on it. I've ridden it in the rain, ridden it on salty roads in the winter sometimes because I like to – like I'm hardcore. Like I'll ride when it's like 30 degrees out. And then – so I got a new bike, and then on the new bike I didn't have a water bottle holder. I think they call it a cage. So I'm looking on REI online, and then the cage I found that I liked was like $17-$18. And then, you know, you don't get free shipping unless you spend $35. So I go and I'm like, oh, I'll get something else. I'm like, well, I'll look at packs for the bike. I don't think I really need a pack, but I started looking at the little packs that they have for biking. And I found this one that like mounts on top of the horizontal bar, like the nut crusher bar on your bike. Like, you know, when you're a kid and you fall off your bike or fall forward, that like the bar that crushes your nuts, like that's, so then the front stem where the steering handle, the handlebars mount into the stem, it has a little loop that goes around there and then two little Velcro straps. So it sits on top of the nut crusher bar and then is balanced slash held vertical by the handlebar stem. So it's a cool little thing. It was $20. So I just needed something to add to my order so I get my free shipping. And then, because on a $17 order, like, I mean, then you want to pay $8 for shipping. I'm like, geez, that's like a 50% increase in cost just for shipping for. So I'm like, I'm better off to find. So I went looking, found this pack, and I'm like, oh, that's great. Now I can stick my phone in that little pack. And then, so the thing comes in the mail or UPS or whatever it came, prior mail. Friday, I stuck it on my bike. Today I rode for the first time with it and I love it. So it fits my Smith & Wesson air weight. So model 637, that's the hammer one. There's a hammerless, which I think is 635. Don't quote me on that. Maybe it's 642 or something like that. There's anyway. The five shot little J frame revolver from Smith & Wesson. It fits that, my phone. And I got a bigger phone. I've got a Samsung Galaxy Note Plus 10 or something like that. So it's a bigger phone. It fits my air weight easily, my phone, and then my Leatherman fits in there. And there's room for other things. I could fit like a headphone case, you know, your earbud case and stuff like that. I mean, I could fit a wallet in there too. I don't carry a wallet. I carry just my money folded over my credit cards with a little band around it, a little wad. That would fit in there as well. So it's perfect. And so now I rode for the first time with it today. Obviously it adds some weight, and like when you're biking and you're serious, you don't want that much weight, but now my phone is no longer in my pocket, which I would sometimes worry about my phone falling out. So I can put my phone right there. It's in front of you. It's easy to access. There's other bike packs that are like tail packs that are underneath the seat, hang behind the seat, packs that hang in that little triangular section underneath the nut crusher bar. And then sometimes they hang from the nut crusher bar and then also connect to the vertical bar that supports or carries most of the weight for your seat that your seat goes down into, the seat stem goes down into. So, and then I'm like, oh, I wonder if it would fit a bigger gun. So like, I took my Beretta and I stuck the Beretta in upside down. So it's basically sitting on the top of the slide. And I can't zip it shut completely, so the grip sticks out, but I can fit my phone and then my Beretta, and then the handle of the Beretta is sticking out. Can't really tell what it is, so it's not like you're like open carry. Open carry by definition would be if you can tell it's a gun, it's open carried. I mean, and I don't think you could identify it as a gun. I think it'd still be considered concealed because it covers up enough of the gun that you really only see the handle, and who knows what that handle could be, anything. Anybody who knew what they were, you know, was a gun person probably recognized it was the handle of a gun. You could see the magazine stick. But so it could also hold a bigger gun. So anyway, just a thought. If you ever, anybody out there likes to ride bike and you're looking for an option. And then the other thing is it would be accessible while you're riding. Like those, everything else I've seen for like packs on bikes. Of course, if you're carrying it on your hip, you're fine. I mean, I've open carried when I rode before with Kim and the kids, but on weekend rides, but like my exercise type bike rides where I'm not wearing a belt, I'm wearing bicycle shorts, padded bicycle shorts. And then, I mean, that's when I haven't carried, cause I didn't really have a convenient ish way to do it. And I could have worn a little backpack, or I could have, but then even with a backpack on, your gun's not going to be accessible to you. And so I love it. This little pack, I can keep my Leatherman in there. I can keep my, my gun and my, phone and, yeah. And then, with my new water bottle cage, I've got my hydration with me too. So I'm like, yeah, I'm set up. So, check it out if you're interested in REI. It's like a $20 pack. Go to REI's website. And then you just look for their, you'll see it. I'm trying to think if you're on Instagram, I did put a picture of it on the Wisconsin Carry Instagram page. So you can see it there. But yeah, I was super thrilled because now I can carry on my bike. It's a sleek little, it's not a big intrusive pack. It's aerodynamic. It's going to, you know, it's not going to change the aerodynamics of the bike, much, if at all. And it's accessible while you're riding, easily. So if for some reason you had to, you know, pull a gun, you know, coyote comes after you. I'm joking. But yeah, so I'm thrilled with it. And it could easily be swapped off to a different bike too if I wanted to ride on a different bike. So check it out, REI. Go search their cycle gear, their kind of their bike packs, and you'll see it. It's only like $20. It's the REI brand. I've heard people saying that you can spend a whole bunch more on little packs for your bike, and maybe you find something that works better. I mean, if you want, you know, if you want to carry your throw your 40, your Ed Brown custom 45, .1911, in there. You could find a different pack that would, you could do it probably in this pack. Maybe not if it was like a longer barreled 45, certainly like a Kimber Ultra Carry, CPD2 or something like that. You could fit in there. But there's other packs too, if you were looking for something. But anyway, just throwing it out there. Next thing I was going to roll into today, was, you know, Republicans just really continue to frustrate me because they don't know how to win. Democrats know how to win. Republicans don't know how to win. Republicans are experts at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And, I was actually trying to remember. I don't remember what of this I've hit on my prior show, but it's worth rehashing. And this is probably a little bit different spin on it, but I'm listening to Clay and Buck. I really generally enjoy listening to Clay and Buck's radio show. They're the ones that took over for Rush Limbaugh. Can't stand Dan O'Donnell. I mean, his voice has always been nails on a chalkboard for me. And his Shakespearean prose way. I mean, just the way he talks, I can't. And then I can overlook all that. But what really does it is when people just are ignorant to freedom and pushing their opinions over. Like conservatives don't need to be told what to think, who to think, who to vote for. And when conservatives try to do it, that's what I love so much about Rush Limbaugh, is in a Republican primary, he even said this, it was his position, he would never get involved in Republican primaries. I don't know if it was never, almost never, but and that was out of respect for his audience. But like Dan O'Donnell, like he claims, and even when people claim to be like, he was talking about, I forget which primary it was, if it was Supreme Court race or something, but it's been about 6 months since I've listened to him because I couldn't take it anymore. But, or if it was the governor's race, but he's like, you know, my goal here is to just bring you the facts and you guys can decide. But I'm going to be impartial. And I think if I have Tim Michaels supporters mad at me and I have Rebecca Clefish, this is for the last governor's race, Rebecca Clefish supporters mad at me, then that means I'm doing my job right because, you know, and it's like, but what he doesn't realize is even the topics that he would cover, like he covered the topic of Michaels living in Connecticut, where his house was, you know, not being as full-time-ish of a Wisconsin resident as he could have been. So just the choice to pick those. Like, he never did a topic on the big downside of Rebecca Clefish being that she was the ultimate insider, and even explaining to people what being an insider means in Wisconsin. Being an insider means, look, these guys never cross or piss off the people that are in the club. So when Robin Voss is a Rebecca Clefish supporter, she'll never cross Robin Voss because that's where her support comes from. And they don't, so they, these insiders don't do that. And that's why when you're in the Scott Walker crowd or the Robin Voss crowd or whatever, you just, so that's, and Dan O'Donnell never even explained that because he didn't have the balls to, in my opinion, because he's not going to go on his show when he wants to have these people on as guests. And he was less of a butt kisser as his show progressed, but yet still not willing to, you know, step on the sacred cows, kick the sacred cows like I'm willing to, and call, even though he would, I mean, he would criticize Republicans from time to time, but never really tell the truth about what this whole insider bullshit is and why nothing ever really gets done in Wisconsin. Almost never gets done in Wisconsin. So anyway, the topics that Dan O'Donnell would choose in his search of just bringing you the facts and you can decide, those were even biased. So I couldn't take it anymore. Republicans just in media, I think, should just butt the fuck out of primaries. And because all they're trying to do is some of them giving you their opinion, but even if they're claiming not to give you their opinion and claiming to just give you facts and letting you decide, the selection bias of what they're choosing to put on their show to let you decide is biased. So they should just stay the fuck out of it and let people, Republicans are smart. They don't need to. And if Republicans can't figure it out, well, they will figure it out. But if someone wants to be intellectually lazy, no, I don't know who to vote for in the Republican primary. Well, then they'll have to figure it out. But the last thing we need is a talk show host choosing topics that appeal to or that tickle their fancy, because those end up being biased in just the picking of those topics and not picking of other topics. Some that might lend themselves to a certain Republican candidate, some that might lend themselves to another. And even after, like, well, I don't want to go off on Dan O'Donnell too much more, but, you know, long time ago, he used to have some really good investigative, like, type stories where he would really document cause and effect of, you know, stuff, some stuff on COVID and some other things. But I think he's gotten so busy because he was, you know, fills in for Mark Belling over the winter and stuff that I'm not saying he mails it in, but I just don't think he has the time to do as great of a show. Anyway, so I don't listen to Dan O'Donnell. I listen to Clay and Buck. I listen to Vicky and I listen to Mark Belling. Once in a while, if there's a good fill-in host, I might listen to them as well. But generally speaking, I don't listen to much talk radio anymore, especially during primaries, because it's just so irritating. But I do like Clay and Buck, and these guys spend so much time talking about the Republican primary. And, you know, they're like, well, we're going to call it out when Trump says something we don't agree with. We're going to call that out when other candidates say something we don't agree with. Call it out. And again, I'm like, you don't need to do that. Republican, because you think that Republican voters are not smart enough to see through and sift through this stuff on their own. Come on. Like, that's what's so insulting about these guys, is that they think that they need to, in a Republican primary, educate and call balls and strikes for, it's beyond frustrating to me. But the other side of it to me is how much time is wasted talking about this Republican, that Republican, DeSantis, Trump, and again, when Trump's the clear front runner and going to get the nomination, and they could spend all this time. See, then you end up spending 9 months talking about the Republican primary and then 3 months talking about the general election stuff. Meanwhile, any voter who is trying to decide between a Republican and a Democrat has already made up their mind. While Republicans were talking about primary issues and talk radio was talking about primary issues. So again, I think it would be far better for conservatives in talk radio to take the Rush Limbaugh approach. You don't have to ignore stuff that goes on in primaries, but generally speaking, devote 90% of your time to attacking Democrats, attacking their policies, attacking their, because that's where victory is found. And I think it's such a waste of time. And then by the time you get around to the general election, everybody's made up their mind. And you spent the last 9 months when people were making up their mind. I'm talking about general election voters have made up their mind. Independent voters, as much as I hate dumbass swing voters, they've already come to their conclusions. And you wasted all this time to be exposing whether it's Joe Biden's failures and the issues. And even hearing Clay and Buck say, well, all the data says that suburban women are going to decide this next election. Trump in 2016 found other voters. They were called rural voters who were so apathetic on government and politicians, they thought they were all the same, and they were probably right, that became interested in not interested in politics, but motivated to go out and vote for a Republican presidential candidate again. And that was Donald Trump. So there's other constituencies. And this is all the data says that I've heard Clay and Buck say that over. Fuck the data. The data has been wrong before. And the data is always ex post facto. It's retrospective to the last election. It's never predictive of the next, because if it was predictive of the upcoming election, Republicans would do great, because they always end up targeting and running based upon how the last elections went. So this notion that, oh, suburban women are going to be the decide, all the data says suburban women again, screw the data, screw suburban women. That's a bad pun, but I think there's other constituencies that you can find. But even so, let's look at suburban women. And the notion that Republicans need to do more to appeal to them in terms of like, now look, the abortion issue, don't get me wrong, I think that's the Democrats have an advantage on that. I think suburban women do care about abortion and they do want it legal, to a lot of them, the majority to a certain extent. And you know how I feel about this if you listen to me before. I think abortion is probably morally wrong since conception. But legality and morality are not the same thing. Otherwise, if you cheat on your wife, you should go to jail, and nobody thinks we should be doing that. If you lie to your wife, you should go to jail, because that's morally wrong. Morally wrong to lie to your wife. We don't throw people in jail, generally speaking, for lying. We don't throw people in jail, generally speaking, for cheating on their spouses. I mean, that's not. So again, morality, legality is different. I've already gone through in previous shows I'll recap it quick. You don't get all your rights. When you're 2 years old, you don't have the right to keep and bear arms. When you're 10 years old, you don't have the right to sign contracts. When you're 12 years old, you don't have the right to drive. So you don't get all your rights until you reach certain ages of majority, ages of whatever. And until then, your parents are the custodian of your rights. Your parents sign contracts on your behalf. Your parents, you know, can, unless you get emancipated until you're 18, they tell you where you're going to live unless they're abusing you or something. Their parents get their say. And so I think it's only the legal precedent / standard is there that an unborn fetus / child that could not survive without the mother's rights would trump the fetus's, the baby's rights. And so that's why I think that sometime around the time frame of viability, whatever that is, that abortion should be illegal after that and legal before it. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it morally right. I'm not God, but I suspect if God was here, he'd probably say that abortion is wrong after conception. Maybe God's even against birth control. I don't know. I'm not God. But from a legal standpoint, I think that Republicans should just accept and sorry, kick the vicious pro-life crowd that wants no exceptions for abortion and no this, no that. They need to ignore them, or they're just going to lose more elections. Now, abortion aside, there are so many issues that Republicans could win on with women. Democrats are waging a war on women. Look at the transgender athletes in sports. That's taking away the rights of biological women. Every suburban mom with their daughter who's going to be in soccer and who's going to go in swimming or who are transgender in sports is going to take away their daughter's rights. Transgender kids in bathrooms. We've seen in other schools where that's led to girls getting sexually assaulted. That's an issue that suburban moms would be very attuned to. You know, schools refusing to share, pushing transgender influences on kids, and schools not telling parents when their kids want to be called a she when they're a he. I mean, taking away parents' rights. I mean, those are things that would appeal to suburban women. COVID policies and the effect that that had on kids, that would enrage suburban women. There are so many issues where Republicans should be hammering the Democrats. And this is a primary season, and all they're doing is talking about Republican versus Republican, and they should be just hammering on these war on women issues to appeal to these suburban women. So Clay and Buck should be spending the majority of their time not talking about what Trump's doing and what, you know, who has a shot and who doesn't have a shot in the Republican debates and blah, blah, blah. They should be talking about this Democrat war on women every day and pushing it. And so they're on their socials. So the majority of their topics are things that, and then here's what happens. Then a Clay and Buck listener posts a segment or a link or a topic to their Facebook page. And then these people who don't listen to Clay and Buck might see, here's a interesting take on a friend of a conservative. It sees that they post on their Facebook something about transgenders in schools and what schools are doing to take away the rights of girls and to put the rights of a transgender girl over the rights of all the other girls in her class that now have to shower with a dude. That happened here in Wisconsin. I don't know if it was Wisconsin, if it was Madison, I forget what state it was, but there's a sorority where a court ruled that they must allow a transgender male in the sorority house. And the sorority, the national chapter, the sorority sisters are so against it. They're like, oh, this dude gets aroused watching us walk around the sorority house. He's made an uncomfortable place. Again, an issue that would totally appeal to a suburban mother. There's so Republicans should be winning. Republicans have all the conservatives, have all the issues to win with suburban women, even if they didn't adjust their stance on abortion. And again, we don't have the media, but we do have social media. And Republicans from Clay and Buck to whoever, they should be spending 90+% of their time talking about these kinds of things instead of, oh, we got to pick the right candidate in the Republican. Let the conservative voters decide who to pick. They don't need you to. They don't need your elite, brainiac, intellectual elite, in the know Republicans to help us decide. No, Republican voters can decide who the fuck they want to vote for in a primary. Fight and win. Talk about these Democrat policies that would appeal to suburban women, would appeal to everybody. Instead of this loser talk of like angst and bashing other Republicans, not even called Kayla McEnany this and that's not fair. So what? Wasting your time. Talk about it because nobody's going to not vote for Trump and we don't need you to call balls and strike on everything Trump says. Talk about the Democrat, and they do talk about some of these issues, but I think they waste time talking about Republican primary issues. So, I mean, it's just an example for me where I see Republicans over and over again snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, and it doesn't have to be that way. But one of the reasons why I'll turn Clay and Buck on, and if they're talking Republican primary bullshit, boom, just change the channel back to music and enjoy my day instead of wanting to throw something at my my radio. Like I said, Dan O'Donnell, I don't even bother. I can't even stand the sound of his voice and his sanctimony. Just his voice sounds sanctimonious. But I used to, when he had good topics, I could totally ignore his irritating, sanctimonious delivery style. His squishy sellout millennial, phony conservative, trying to tell people that, paying for taxpayer funded stadiums for the Bucks, arenas for the Bucks and everything was the free market at work and all the other, unprincipled stuff that's come out of Dan O'Donnell's mouth. I could ignore all that, but what I can is just this absolute, I think there's no freedom value in it anymore. So don't listen to him at all. Mark Belling does so many other topics beyond just, I mean, they're all political-ish, but they're just so varied and such a variety. He doesn't spend all his time talking about Republican primaries and that kind of thing. So spend some, and that gets annoying too. But yeah, and I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe other Republicans love to hear these conservatives talk and analyze the Republican primary. I don't see it. I don't. But anyway, last thing I was going to talk about tonight was, this is a big I told you so. So someone sent me the story about New Mexico and the governor of New Mexico banning or issuing an emergency order regarding concealed carry. So I'm going to, this is from Town Hall, but I'll read this to you. Town Hall, this is sent to me by my friend Phil, a listener of the show. New Mexico governor suspends open and concealed carry in Albuquerque. Skipping through some of this stuff. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham on Friday issued an emergency public health order that suspends the open and permitted concealed carry of firearms in Albuquerque for 30 days in the midst of a spate of gun violence. The Democratic governor, they call it Democratic governor, the Democrat, don't say Democratic governor, the Democrat governor said she is expecting legal challenges but felt compelled to act in response to gun deaths, including the fatal shooting of an 11-year-old boy outside a minor league baseball stadium this week. The firearm suspension is tied to a threshold for violent crimes that only the Albuquerque area currently meets. Police are exempt from the temporary ban on carrying firearms. Lujan Grisham said the restrictions, quote, are going to pose incredible challenges for me as a governor and as a state. I welcome the debate and fight about how to make New Mexicans safer, she said at a news conference flanked by leading law enforcement officials, including the district attorney for the Albuquerque area. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but this first off, trust me, this has nothing to do with. And this Democrat governor knows that this will do nothing to stop the gun violence in Albuquerque. She's using this as an excuse to suggest that's the reason for this. And then all the Republicans and pro-gun folks are going to sit here and try to explain that, oh, criminals aren't going to stop carrying because of this edict. Only the law-abiding are. Again, this isn't where the battle is. Democrat politicians know that their gun control proposals have nothing to do with crime. They're not trying to reduce crime. They're trying to find ways to keep guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens, because the law-abiding citizens are the ones that they're the most afraid of. The law-abiding citizens, January 6th, a real January 6th, is Democrats' biggest fear ever. That's why when you hear Democrats talk about gun control and you say that wouldn't do a damn thing to stop crime, that's not the point. They're not trying to stop crime and they know it. So when you sit here and try to convince, when people read this about what this New Mexico governor did and say, well, the criminals are still going to keep carrying, again, you're bloviating to the wind, because if you don't understand what the true motivation is, you can't attack the true motivation. And the true motivation is not to stop crime. Democrats love crime. Crime gives people reason to beg government for more protection. Crime gives people reason to sacrifice their freedoms in the name of security. Democrats love crime. Democrats don't want no crime. They're not trying to stop crime. Democrats are looking for every opportunity to seize power over you, and they have control over criminals, because if you're a criminal, you're not allowed to, if you're a criminal and you ever step enough over the line or step over the kind of line that they care about, they can snap you off the street, throw you in jail for the rest of your life because you're already a felon. And look, felons are carrying guns and they can throw you in jail for a long time for that. They don't want to throw you in jail for that. They want to, it's the law-abiding person who has rights and freedoms and who they can't control. They hate that. This isn't conspiracy theory. Trust me. Trust me. When this New Mexico governor, on the notion of a public health emergency, suspended open and permitted concealed carry in Albuquerque, she knew damn well it had nothing to do with keeping people safe, nothing to do with reducing crime. She's establishing a precedent for when you can usurp the rights of armed citizens. It was probably 3 years ago. It was more than that. They started talking about looking at guns. We need to look at guns as a public health issue. And I said at the time, this is a trap. This is dangerous. And they said, no, it's just so that we can, direct funding towards it, because if we classify it as a public health issue, it opens up sources of funding to bullshit. That's a lie. Declaring guns a public health issue was step one. And they did this pre-COVID, but it really ramped up post-COVID. But again, at first it was just, oh, just for the money and for funding. But then we saw during COVID, the emergency powers that public officials either had by statute, or even though they did, in some instances, didn't even have these powers, they just chose to, by edict, grab these powers. These emergency powers of public health during COVID, that was step two. So first, you declare guns a public health issue, and then during COVID, in the name of public health, you allow Democrat governors to issue edicts, mask mandates, shutting down schools, shutting down businesses, deciding who's essential and who's not, all in the name of emergency public health orders. And that's the two-piece step that they can use to ban. So it's another tool they can use to ban guns. The New Mexico governor doesn't care about crime. She knows that this edict banning conceal and open carry and permitted conceal carry would do nothing to stop crime, but she wants to flex the powers of an executive branch official to ban guns. And right now under emergency public health orders, but that's just a step to other civil unrest. Ban, again, this is the path that this is on. It's about getting guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens under the phony guise of an emergency. And right now, a public health emergency, but it'll just become an emergency in the future. The next protest at a state capitol. Oh, we can't have people carrying. I mean, look at January 6th. We can't have people carrying, because right now, well, you guys all know it. I mean, we carried at the state capitol when we were up there for the COVID protests. Every time there's a protest at the state capitol, people are carrying. This is just an attempt and establishing a precedent for banning law-abiding people from carrying and finding the mechanisms to do it. And that's what this is. And I said it 3 years ago. I said, trust me, this labeling gun violence a public health issue, combined with the emergency powers seized by government officials under COVID, That's a two-step, the two steps that they need to impose gun bans. And now we see it. You know, it's 30-day gun ban in Albuquerque, but next time it'll be something else. It'll be whether it's, who knows? Democrats never let a crisis go to waste. Any kind of thing where they can say, whether it's there's protests or too close to an election or people are mad about election results. Emergency order, no permanent. I mean, you can't carry. That's not just what could happen. That's what will happen. That's the direction this is all going. So anyway, that's what I got for tonight. Hopefully the broad podcast here, if I did the show more on a weekly basis, I'd have a little bit more confidence that the audio was running properly. But nonetheless, I apologize for the herky-jerky start to the show, and glad that you guys were able to tune in. I hope that you enjoyed the show, and perhaps we'll do another show, again, unlikely next week, but maybe in a week or two, we'll have another podcast, see what kind of topics come down the pipe. In the meantime, enjoy your fall. Fall being the absolute best time of year. Sorry, my fiancée is texting me. Well, she knows I'm doing a show. Not because of football. Because of cooler weather, the first frost kills all the mosquitoes, and then you get some warm days after that where no bugs, cool, dry air, not sweating your brains out, can be outside, have fun. Leaves are changing, beautiful outside. The smells of burning leaves and the smells of fall, it's heaven in Wisconsin in the fall. Boating season is still fun in the fall. Then it kind of wraps up and gets into hiking season, which is my fiance's equally favorite season of the year. So we boat during the summer and hike during the winter. And happy fall. Fall is upon us, and that's a great thing. So hope you guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.